Jones. It's 23 and a half minutes to 3 o'clock on a Thursday, the day after the elections that were, and in the studio with me, folk that have been keeping an eye on things, Penny Faree, our journalist at large, and once again, welcome to Warwick Chapman, political observer, and formerly a politician yourself. We won't talk about that now because we want to talk about what happened yesterday. But yes. Maybe if we have a chance, we'll get into it. So, Penny, over to you.
Yes. So I covered just this region, the Ballito region, and then afterwards I started going to the underlying areas. So essentially, I was looking at Ward 6, which was the Ballito Library. We looked at Salt Rock and Sinzani. Ward 30, we went into Sharker's Head. So just the nearby wards, we kept an eye on them. You know, there was such a big hype up before the elections, which was D-Day, because everyone's been talking how critical this election will be for our country. And there were, there were a lot of social media videos on doing their rounds, which were casting some, you know, disparity on the IEC and the integrity of the election process. So people were very nervous. There was a heavy, heavy police presence, security presence. Everything was peaceful. And, you know, when I was speaking to a lot of the voters, they were grim, but so determined, you know, and everyone had, were united in that voice. You know, the whole vibe was, we want change. We cannot carry on with the status quo. And the issues that were coming up have been, were repeated throughout all the wards with all the people who were standing there. Some stood there for 3.5 hours, up to 4 hours. You know, voting closed late last night at Sinzani with all the hiccups they had, and Townsend Park. And they all said, it's, you know, electricity, water source, shortages, unemployment, high crime, you know, corruption. Those five things featured in everyone's narrative.
But it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, just from early signs, or yes, that there has been certainly change. Change has, yes, swept through. But the way the change has come may be out of the frying pan into the fire. I'm just saying that as devil's advocate, because it seems that there's a new kid on the block, and it would appear that that new kid is a reiteration of the origins of most of the problems that we've been facing in the form of one Jacob Zuma, Esquire.
Yeah, he's talking about the MK, Mkhwakhi Ncizwe.
Well, I mean, isn't it a fact that under former President Jacob Zuma, things really started to unwind badly?
Absolutely.
And Warwick, there you are. We've got you on record. Yes, absolutely. So now it would appear that many ANC, former ANC supporters, have joined ranks for this new party called MK. They are mostly, from what I can piece together, the former, from this region, radical economic transformation practitioners or mm-hmm. advocates, which is kind of the heart of darkness, really. So we've got change, hip, hip, hooray. But wow, you know, sometimes out of the frying pan into the fire. And I think this might well be the case. You guys are much more clued up in that regard than I am. What is your view, Warwick?
Well, Dave, I think
it is early days. Let's say, but unofficially, this is the case.
So it is early days, and because there's a third ballot in the mix in this election, the count's actually taking place a little bit more slowly than in previous years. So we know less now than we did at this time in 2019. But it's clear enough for News 24, for example, to have made a projection that the ANC will be in the low 40s. I think 43.2 was their projection nationally. So it seems almost certain that ANC is going to have to form a coalition with someone. And to build on what you've just mentioned in the intro, obviously the MK is a potential coalition partner. Now, whether the MK is willing or not is a different story. But I think that this election is going to have two major stories. The first one is the massive decline of the ANC. It's a huge drop in support from 2019. And then the second story will be who they choose to get into bed with to run South Africa. And I think that choice will determine whether the ANC manages to stabilize or whether it continues to decline. If they get into bed with an MK or an EFF, then I think the ANC is history. If they get into a partnership, a grand coalition with the likes of the DA, and things start turning around, they're going to take more credit for that turnaround than the DA is in that coalition.
But would the DA, you know, I mean, they did sign a multi-party charter and didn't say that they would never... You know,
but you weren't listening to Auntie Helen on the weekend.
Oh, did she? Oh,
yes. She suddenly changed her tune completely.
Yeah.
And she said, well, of course, you know, we were talking. Yeah. And that was kind of a surprise because up until then, it was pretty much, written in stone that there would be no coalition.
I spoke to Action SA's KZN premier candidate. He was obviously visiting some of the stations around here, Zwakeli in Kwango. And he, you know, when I raised it as a possibility, he said, no, in the charter they were very clear. He stated a number, 17.3, that's where they are. So he says... He said it might just be a rumor to possibly take away votes from the ANC. He doesn't know. But, you know, I was on the ground yesterday, and there was a lot of MK support. I've been telling you that the MK has come through, and everyone has underestimated the MK, the ANC, to their own peril. Well,
but this is in KZN.
Yes, just in the KZN region, just obviously in our region even. And... I mean, they were touting it because what the ANC has said, because the ANC has been campaigning really strongly in KZN. They've seen it as like a pivotal province here. And they said 10% at most, the polls are stating that. And when I spoke to the MK's regional coordinator, Mr. Majola, yesterday, he scoffed at me. He goes, 10%, please. He says, if we don't get more than 40%, he says, we're going to be very disappointed. So I was like, wow, that's quite a, you know, that's quite a statement. And the people were saying that as well, you know, when even in Shaka's Head, I mean, there was the ANC stand on the one side and the EFF and the MK stand together, and the MK and the EFF were partying together. You know, they were singing a lot of the liberation songs. There was a huge, very, you know, intense atmosphere. And I actually was being a bit of a devil's advocate as well. And I said, are you guys, I spoke to the EFF guy and I said, are you guys going to have a coalition with the ANC? And he's like, never. And I said, what about the MK? He says, a possibility, yes. But you know what? This is just in our little region and our little wards. So, and can I say something, Warwick, but off the records, obviously the elections are...
Off the record on air.
We uncensored.
Have you considered a career in politics?
So, obviously the DA, we haven't got official results yet, but the DA has come out very strong in all of its wards in our region. And the shocker of the shockers is that the ANC... obviously, it's not official yet, has lost all of its wards, bar one, which is Shaka's Kraal, to MK. So we're going to see how it unfolds.
Wow. What does that mean for this region, Warwick, in your opinion?
So we've spoken on the radio here a few times about election 2026, local government election 2026, and what it means for Kwadukuza. MK has changed the scene completely. And in KDM, the ANC might end up being a small party.
How will that affect local, local government? Because that also, I haven't researched
it. It's going to turn Kwadukuza into a European-style coalition government with lots of parties with 10s and 20s and 30%.
And would the MM still, the municipal manager, will he still retain his position until the local elections, which are almost 2 years from now?
Well, the municipal manager is an official appointed by the council. So long as the ANC has control of that council, and they will, as long as they don't have any by-elections that they lose against MK, right? So their councillors mustn't die or resign.
Okay,
which is not a sure bet in KZN, especially for councillors.
Yeah, okay. You put a target on your back if you're a councillor, especially in Richards Bay.
And so as long as they maintain their current standing in terms of seats, and they're able to continue to buy one or two votes when they need it, they will retain control of the council. If they start losing seats in by-elections, then the prospect of a coalition again becomes a possibility. But then keep in mind that coalition would have to involve the MK. So it would be an interesting thing. Sure. Not that that kind of thing hasn't been done before, but I don't think that there's a real practical prospect of anything changing in KDM from a control and officials' perspective, or let's call it ANC dominance, until the election itself. And then hopefully in 2026 we have quite a significant shift. Maybe the ANC reduces its support by half to the MK. The DA potentially becomes the biggest party in the municipality. Other parties like Action SA that are popular here continue to grow. And you have a real prospect of a sort of ANC, Action SA, IFP, ANC coalition, with potentially the DA being the biggest party and therefore having the mayoral candidate.
Let's take a little breather. We'll be back on the other side.
Suzuki Salt Rock. We love our customers and we love our Dolphin Coast community. As a family-owned business, we're passionate about supporting your motoring needs with new and used car sales, genuine parts, and an expert service center. We even offer collection and drop-off for our service clients. Visit our dealership in Umhlali Village opposite Cindy's and view the Suzuki Salt Rock Facebook page for the latest deals today.
Hey KZN, it's time to save big with Looters. Get 3 litres of Woolite liquid laundry detergent and save over 250 Rand. Or Ariel washing liquid retails usually over 99 Rand. At Looters, it's 52.90. Sensodyne toothpaste retails over 50 bucks usually. At Looters, it's 29.90. Savings never been this easy. Looters, talk is cheap. Come and see for yourself.
Listen to the voice of Balito, Radio Life and Style, 88.0 FM.
And we are unpacking the events of yesterday and going forward with journalist Penny Faree and political commentator Warwick Chapman. Interesting, we sit with nothing definite, but lots of indications that there has been, certainly in our KZN, a major upset. And we're not really sure at this point in time whether this bodes well for the future or not. Let's broad stroke it. Warwick, your best shot. What is your feeling?
Well, Dave, it really depends on who the ANC choose to form a coalition with. And it's anybody's bet. But they have a decision now whether to take South Africa forward in terms of competence and international relations and economic growth and recovery from the years of state capture. And the path then in terms of coalition partners for the DA for the ANC is pretty clear. They must look for parties like the DA in order to put that together. The other choice is definitely backwards. It would be more familiar for the ANC and its people to its leadership to form a coalition with the likes of the Mkhonto we Sizwe party, because they are ex-ANC people. They know one another. They speak the same language, as it were. And unfortunately, as you pointed out at the beginning of this session, the Mkhonto we Sizwe party is really formed up of the principal architects and operators of state capture, and they're not good for South Africa's politics. They're not good for government. They're not the kind of people that we want being deployed into government departments and into leadership positions, because they're going to take the country in the wrong direction. So things are looking very interesting. The one thing that is absolutely clear is that the ANC has taken a huge hit. They're potentially losing 15 percentage points nationally. In a province like Mpumalanga, which you wouldn't think would be as affected by Mkhonto we Sizwe. MK looks to be taking 17 percentage points off of the ANC in Mpumalanga. And then in other parts of the country, the Western Cape, the DA looks to have staved off any threat of losing its majority there, which I think is a very good thing.
So Gayton McKenzie was a little bit...
Premature
with his pronunciations.
The IFP was, I honestly thought the Action SA would do quite well in the elections. You know, I'm just bringing it back to our region because I've just focused on here. They, obviously unofficially, I'm going to carry on saying unofficially, the DA won the local wards. You know, it's six wards. A lot of people who voted for the smaller parties in the 2019 went back to the DA. I looked at the numbers. I mean, they had really high voter turnout.
Can I just say, I'm not surprised at that.
Yeah.
I'm saddened by it, but I'm not surprised by that because think about how much electioneering was done by parties like Action SA. I didn't see any.
I think their budget probably, you know, surely.
Yeah, well, there it is. Whatever the reason, there was no real electioneering in this region by any other than, well, of course, the Democratic Alliance. I got four phone calls yesterday.
Yeah, me too. You know,
not real phone calls.
Yeah, sure.
Hi, John Stianer. John, listen, I'm busy right now. I just kept talking. Yeah. So I don't know. But clearly it appealed to someone.
But you know what, Warwick, you know when he's talking about coalition, a lot of the people who voted for the MK didn't want to vote for the ANC because they are tired. When the ANC was, even Cyril Ramaphosa was in KZN, he was going there, he was right on the ground. He was saying, give us another chance. And they've had 30 years, for goodness sake, to sort things out. So now, if you voted for the MK because you want change, and then you like go into a coalition with the ANC, what, I mean, are we going to be expecting so much conflict and turbulence? That's going to be interesting.
Well, here is the thing. We are now poised, anxiously waiting for the final results. Warwick, when do you anticipate the count being complete?
Yeah, Dave, look, at the moment we are 20% counted.
Right.
So there's still... a lot of counting to
and
happen.
And presumably the major centres are those that they're taking time with because there's much more votes to count.
Right.
And those are the ones that really hold sway when it comes to...
Correct. So typically what happens is, if you just talk in ANC-DA terms, the ANC looks better at the beginning of the count. Sorry, the ANC looks worse at the beginning of the count and the DA looks better. So we'll see that, for example... News 24 have projected the DA will be at 21. They're now looking at 25, okay, nice. With only 20% in. So as the count comes in, the DA will drop, and the ANC may climb a little bit from where it is now.
I mean, 21 was what they got last election,
yeah.
So it's not really a...
Well, it remains to be seen.
Yeah.
They are, I think, projecting around about 25, which is where they are now. So things will change, but the biggest voting districts, I remember years ago doing a count at Port Natal in Durban where we finished the count around about 8 o'clock the next morning. That would have been 8 o'clock this morning. They take a long time to get done. And a reminder, this year there's a third ballot, so the counts are taking an extra third longer.
And the queues were closed as well later on. They didn't start counting as soon as it was shut. I know in Tanzania they only start the last vote was cast at 10:30 last night.
So probably we're looking at tomorrow afternoon to Saturday. And then they have exactly 14 days to form a coalition government to get parliament to sit and elect a president. Otherwise, the Chief Justice gets involved.
Wow.
I think we're going to be in the news in the next couple of days.
One last 23 question.
23 wards. Sorry, I have to say that. Come on, Dave. 23 wards the ANC has lost to the MK.
Well, it kind of leads into what I wanted to kind of end with now. And that is all the security clusters are on high alert. They were on high alert for the voting, but I don't think that was really where they were expecting any kind of upsets and drama. I think they are waiting for the weekend. If there's going to be drama, I think it's going to be on the weekend. How likely do you believe, considering the volatility of our region and the stakes being as high as they are, how likely do you believe it is that we're going to see some untoward activity this weekend?
Dave, I think everyone is prepared and has taken extraordinary measures. So there's been all sorts of extra stuff going on behind the scenes. My personal feeling is that if there was going to be unrest, it would have happened already.
Oh.
The MK have had a good showing in this election, and I don't think there's any need to protest there. The judgment around Jacob Zuma's ineligibility to stand for election to Parliament has come and gone. So I don't see what reason there would be. There's this vaunted truck driver strike, which was postponed and then supposed to be on the eve of the election, and nothing happened. So I think the security cluster is, and I mentioned this before, the ANC as well as the party of government right now has a vested interest in maintaining stability.
Well, here's hoping, and certainly all will be revealed in the next couple of days. We will have a result shortly. You reckon by Saturday the counting will be done. There'll be an announcement made at some stage, I would imagine, during the weekend. Yeah. Possibly we should get together again on Monday and take a look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they have till Sunday, according to the IEC, to finish the counting. But they do it before then.
No doubt it will be an extremely interesting reconvention of the three of us when we get together again on Monday afternoon to unpack the final count and the results of election 2024 South Africa. We're all hoping for a better future, and who knows?
It's inevitable.
Certainly the winds of change are blowing, and they are blowing strong. My very special guests on this Thursday afternoon, Penny Faree and Warwick Chapman. We'll connect again on Monday at 2:30. How about that? The afternoon.